Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. One of the themes in our gospel today is that Jesus uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So, for instance, we have John the Baptist. He was definitely a fringe member of society. I mean, literally out in the wilderness. But he knew he had a job to do. And he had a calling. He believed in it and he witnessed to Jesus. In fact, he pointed to Jesus as more important than himself. And he did this so well that two of his own disciples left him. And we have Andrew. Now, Andrew believed something, not sure about the whole picture, so he went and told only his brother. And his brother was Simon Peter. Now, at that time, Peter was an ordinary guy, a fisherman, like someone down in San Pedro, who after a day has a beer when he comes home, and then he spends the rest of the night with his family. And in those days, Peter did things without thinking. For instance, he saw Jesus walking on water, so without thinking, he gets out of the boat, starts walking on water, realizes he's walking on water, and just sinks. So he was very impulsive. He spoke out of turn, and did not always tell the truth, as we know in the courtyard when Jesus was on trial. But what's really important for us to remember, these ordinary people, John, Andrew, and Peter, were ordinary, and they were called to do the extraordinary. All of the Gospels are stories of transformation. Ordinary people being changed by Jesus. In the hands of Jesus, Peter became an extraordinary leader. After the resurrection, he led that early church. But it took a long time for that change to happen. God can work with anyone, use anyone, mold and change anyone through the invitation of grace, through Holy Spirit moments, aha moments, when we see a new light and begin to follow it. And this light of Christ leads us, I believe, one inch at a time, one moment at a time. That's all I think we can handle, and God knows that. So we're invited to follow one moment at a time, one inch at a time. And the turnaround, the change, the transformation can happen no matter what we have been through. And so to illustrate this, I want to talk about a TV series from years ago that was based on fact. Did any of you watch Band of Brothers? Okay, then. I didn't either. It was the story of Easy Company, a group of American soldiers who fought from Normandy to Germany during World War II. They were an ordinary group of men who accomplished extraordinary things. But many of them died in the process. Of those who survived, quite a number became teachers. Others became builders of homes. They who had been destroyers now had the chance to do something good. They wanted to do something beautiful with their lives. But some in their group were so damaged by the horrors of war, by the things they had seen and done, they couldn't seem to recover. Sergeant Skinny Sisk was one of them. One of Skinny's soldier buddies warned him that all the killings that were going on were someday going to jump into bed with him. And that happened. After the war, Skinny Sisk suffered flashbacks and started drinking and drinking and drinking. He became a total bum. One day, his niece, 4 years old, came unbidden into his room. Now, none of the rest of the family would ever go into that room. They would have nothing to do with Sisk. He was a violent and vile drunk. But his four-year-old little niece came into his room, and she said to Sisk that Jesus loved him, and she did too. She told him that if he would repent, God would forgive him. Quite something for a four-year-old to say to her uncle. So she had marched into that room and says, "Sisk, that little girl got to me. But I threw her out of the room, told her to go to mommy." But then he reports what happened next. He says, "There and then I bowed my head on my mother's old feather bed and repented. And God forgave me for the war and all the other bad things I had done down through the years." And do you know what happened? He quit drinking. He gave his life to Jesus. And Jesus unlocked the potential that no one else could see in him. He became a minister and served God for many, many years. In his old age, Sisk wrote a letter to his commanding officer of Easy Company. And in that letter, he said to him, "I was ordained in the latter part of 1949 into the ministry. And believe me, I have not whipped but one man since, and he needed it." So Jesus takes people like Andrew, John the Baptist, Peter, Skinny Sisk, you, me, and the person sitting next to you in the pew. And Jesus does wonderful things with us and through us. All we have to do is put ourselves in his hands. All we have to do is let Jesus take charge of our lives. And actually, that's the hard part, because we have to let go of control. And we are not always conscious that we need to let go of control. In fact, sometimes it comes late in life, and we come to believe that we have made such a mess of things and ourselves that we become depressed or drink or whatever. But the stories of Jesus that we look at in the Gospels is Jesus meeting people right where they are, being with them right where they are, and inviting them to take one step forward, one inch at a time. So in this gospel, there is a very simple pattern of witnessing, of simply telling another person a belief. John the Baptist witnessed to two disciples. One of the disciples, Andrew, witnessed to his brother Peter. And the ripple effect moved forward. Only God can predict how this ripple effect will continue. Now the other disciple is not even named in this account, but he will become one of the 12, and he will keep the ripple effect going. There are two others who are examples to me of ordinary people that were transformed to do extraordinary things. Nelson Mandela and Bono, the leader of the rock band U2. Now, Nelson Mandela, we know, went through quite a transformation, even though he spent almost 30 years in prison. He had every right to leave that prison a man of hatred, but he left that prison a man of love with a new vision. It was expressed in his inaugural address of 1994, when he was in his 70s. This is an incredible passage that's often been quoted. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are born to manifest the glory of God within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And so we let our own light shine. We consciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Do not let your light be hidden. Let it shine where you are. It will be a part of the ripple effect. John the Baptist pointed to the light so others could follow. He did not try to build an empire for himself. Each of us can make a difference. Bono, leader of the rock band U2, won a Golden Globe last weekend for the song that represented the journey of Nelson Mandela's fight for social justice. Bono and his band have been faithful to their sense of purpose for years and years. He even won the Nobel Prize. Now, in 1985, U2 went on a tour with a concert called The Unforgettable Fire. A theologian whose commentary I was reading before today went to that concert, not me. He said the final song was an encore. The song was called 40. It was based on Psalm 40, which was our psalm response today. As the band left the stage one by one, the audience kept singing their refrain, I will sing a new song. That refrain from Psalm 40 was the fourth line in your bulletin. He put a new song in my mouth. That is what can happen in the hands of Jesus. Ordinary us become changed. Instruments of God, we can sing a new song. And so I pray. Take over, Lord. Take us. Teach us. Heal us. Use us. Amen.